Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ambho Janma Janis Tad Antara Gato Mayar Bhakteshitur Mayar Bhakteshitur Drashtung Manju Mahitvam Anyad Api Tad Vatsan Ito Vatsapan Nidvan Yatra Kurud Vahantara Dadhat Kurud Vahantara Dadhat Ke Vastito Ya Pura Vrisvag Asura Mokshanang Prabhavata Praptaha Parang Vismayam. Now, I don't know a particular meter for this verse, so I'm just going to say it as best I can. If somebody knows... Okay. Ambojana janistad antaragato mayar bhakye sheshitur drastung manju mahitvam anyad apitad vatsan ito vatsapan nitvan yatra kurud vahantara dadatke vastito yapura brisbhag asura mokshanang prabhavata prapta parang vismayam ambojana janistad antaragato mayar bhakshyasye shitur drastung manju mahitvang anyad apitad vatsan ito vatsapan nitvan yatra kurud vahantara dadhat ke vastito yapura brisvag asura mokshanang prabhavata prapta parang vismayam ambhojanam janistad antaragato mayar bhakshyasye shitur drastung manju mahitvam anyad apitad vatsan ito vatsapan nitvan yatra kurud vahantara dadatke vastito yapura drisvag asura mokshanang prabhavata praptaha parang vismayam. Word for word, please repeat. Ambojana jani, Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. Tat antara gata, now became entangled with the affairs of Krishna, who was enjoying luncheon pastimes with his cowherd boys. Maya abhakasya, of the boys made by Krishna's Maya. Ishitu, of the Supreme Controller. Drastum, just to see. Manju, very pleasing. Mahitvam anyat api, other glories of the Lord also. Tatvatsan, their calves. Ita, then that place where they were. Vatsapan, and the cowherd boys taking care of the calves. Nitva, bringing them. Anyatra, to a different place. Kurudvaha, O Maharaja Parikshit. Antara Dadhat, kept hidden and invisible for some time. ke avastitaya. This person, Brahma, who was situated in the higher planetary system in the sky. Pura, formerly, Drisva, was observing. Aga asura mokshanam, the wonderful killing and deliverance of Aghasura from material tribulation. Prabhavata, of the all-potent Supreme Person. Prapta parangvismayam, had become extremely astonished. Let us recite the translation responsibly. O Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system, in the sky had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Aghasura. And he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was. So now we will hear Srila Prabhupada's purport, and I would like to initiate a discussion on this purport because I do not understand it. And I see my superior God brothers. So I will point out the parts that I don't understand, and hopefully through the association of devotees I will be able to understand. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Aghasura was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus he became entangled in Krishna's maya. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambhojanma Jani. He was born of Ambhoja, a lotus flower. It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material, and anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, the tendency to commit mistakes. Pramad, the tendency to be illusioned. Vipralipsa, the tendency to cheat. And Karnapatava, imperfect senses. Thus Brahma also became entangled. Brahma, with his maya, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. These cowherder boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavatabi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vladini Shaktir Asmat. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Vladini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of the material energy. Brahma, therefore, would see Lord Krishna expand his energy. Now, here's the part that confuses me. So, if you could please think about this. So, first he says in the previous paragraph that the cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna's personal self. So now, Prabhupada says, Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead, he took away some other boys and calves. That's my first, I don't understand that. As he says, he took away some other boys and calves. So I don't know what Prabhupada's referring to. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible. And instead, he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away Mayarbhaka, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. So you see my problem, something I'm not understanding. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayarbhaka, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates, further confusing me. No? Anyway, okay. That he would see in the very near future. Maya Bhakasya Ishitu. This bewilderment, this Maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavata, the all-potent Supreme Person, Krishna, and we shall see the result. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment, and I definitely fall into that category. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Mohitang Navi Janati Mam Evya Param Abhyayam. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Everyone from Brahma down to the small insect must take lessons from Krishna. Not yet, wait. Okay, hold on. Janadapi Sunichena Todoriva Sihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama Hare Namaiva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. Before I open the room for discussion, I would like to attempt to answer Rabindranath's question from yesterday. So I found three references which hopefully explains or answers Rabindranath's question. First, from Krishna book. His question was, how was it that Lord Brahma could not understand that this was God, this was, I believe that was the question. But he also asked, initially, I believe he said, how is it that Lord Brahma could not understand? Anyway, here's what I found. At the time when Agasura was killed and the demigods were looking on the incident with great surprise, Brahma, who was born of the lotus flower, growing out of the navel of Vishnu, also came to see. He was surprised how a little boy like Krishna could act so wonderfully. So it appears from that inference, he's not understanding that Krishna is God because he's appearing in this very five-year-old body. How little boy like Krishna could act so wonderfully. Although he wasn't, now listen to what Prabhupada says here. Although he was informed that the little cowherder boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to see more of the Lord's glorious pastimes. And thus he stole all the calves and cowherder boys and took them to a different place. Then in the Adi Lila, there's this reference. Brahma had tried to test Lord Krishna to see if he were really the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a cowherd or boy. And then the third reference is from the Madhya Lila. When Lord Krishna was present in the earthly Vrindavan, Lord Brahma, taking him to be an ordinary cowherd or boy, wanted to test Krishna's potency. Therefore, Lord Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys from Krishna and hid them by his illusory energy. Does that help, Ribbentrop? Okay, that I'm not addressing. I'm addressing the initial. Okay. All right. So, let's go to my confusion. Bhrigupati seems to be able to alleviate my confusion.
Whether that was enacted by Mother Sita herself, or Yoga Maya, the Leela Shakta potency, or Lord Ram was tuning in, you know, for whatever reason, he was not allowed to touch the real Sita.
Okay.
Okay, so in the same way, Lord Brahma was not allowed to disturb these actual expansions of Krishna, his cowherd boy.
Okay, so who's in the cave? I want to know who's in the cave. Krishna's expansion, the cowherd boys?
No, the Maya Sita.
Okay, very good. So where are the original cowherd boys? Okay, so anybody else?
Where was the original Sita?
Well, the original Sita was being protected by Agni.
So we just don't
but the thing is, this is the first we hear of this concept. Dhritakarma, anybody? Nothing? Oh, I'm accepting two. I'm just trying to understand it. Where are the original cowherd boys, and are the ones in the cave Maya?
If we don't have any statement from Guru, Shastra, or Sadhu about it, then we can only speculate.
Okay.
It's definitely stated that they are just like Maya Sita. They're not the real ones.
Okay.
And like you pointed out, in the case of the Maya Sita, there's some explanation where she is under the protection of Agni, but we don't have any statement like that here, so we can only speculate. There's somewhere, but
okay.
We don't have any information about that unless somebody finds it.
That's fine. Amala Bhakta Maharaj, anything? Anybody else? So at least we're all in the same boat of Krishna's transcendental lotus feet, yes?
Have you read forward just a little bit? Because many times Srila Prabhupada, when things like this come up, Srila Prabhupada will explain it in future purports. Just wondering, have you...
I have not gone any further.
I'm just wondering if this will be answered in future purports.
I remember reading this when this book first came out, and usually in Prabhupada's books I have no problem, but there are a few things that really throw me for a loop. And when I saw that I had this verse today, I went, wouldn't you know, I get the verse. Anyway, yes, Bhrigupati Das?
Coming, Prabhu, hold on.
Wait, in the microphone.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does extensive commentaries on the 10th canto, and you might find the answer there. That's just a suggestion if you work.
Yes, but here's the thing. We were warned yesterday in class to stick to Prabhupada's books, were we not? Were we not?
Oh, Prabhupada's books, in the Adi Lila of the CC, it talks about how Prabhupada recommends that some people should read those books by the Goswamis.
That's not for me.
We don't take shelter of them. It's not our primary source of information. But in a situation like this, when you're trying to get some additional insight into understanding the answer to this question, I don't see any harm in somebody of
let's your see what
status, Amalabhata
Maharaj
consulting,
will say.
You know, a commentary.
In the microphone, please.
All I was about to say is that as Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very frequently, very often. He's not like somebody that we've hardly ever heard from. In fact, in the actual writing of the purport, Srila Prabhupada has referred to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And I think upstairs in the books, I think he has many of the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, along with a number of others like Sanatan Goswami and one of the others. So I would not feel threatened or disturbed by hearing an explanation by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, especially he was in his time considered a very advanced, in our line, by the way, very advanced, very exceedingly knowledgeable in this matter that we're talking about. So if somebody would speak a different name that I never heard of, that Prabhupada never mentioned, but it's coming out of the blue, so to speak, I would hesitate to accept that, as I mentioned at the end of Dutta Karden's class. But as long as we're on land which we're familiar with and which has been granted and given to us, I wouldn't have any concern. The only concern I would have is that if we're quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it should be a quote which we can truly and rather easily understand and not have to go into a speculation. If you have to do that, better not to quote that, because
okay,
then we're being left to our own devices.
Very good. Yes, give the microphone to Archita Das.
There's no question about the bona fide nature of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Jiva Goswami or any of the other commentators on the Bhagavatam. It's not up to us. It's ludicrous for us to even talk about whether they're bona fide or not. That's not the point. The point is, where are you getting their translation from? Who translated it? That's the point. Prabhupada himself said Sanskrit translation is not a question of A, B, C, D knowledge, that I'd learned Sanskrit and therefore I can now sit down and translate anything. No. Because we see Srila Prabhupada himself, if you look at his Bhagavad Gita, a Sanskrit scholar, including some of his own disciples, don't agree with the way he translated some of the verses. But he's translating from a different platform. He's translating from the platform of a pure devotee. So when he puts in a word that's not there or leaves out a word that is there, that is what the way Christian wants him to translate it. And we don't have any right to question that. There are several of Prabhupada's disciples who are Sanskrit scholars who don't agree with his translation of certain verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So it's not a question of A, B, C, D knowledge, of knowing Sanskrit and therefore you can translate anything. And that's the question that arises when you start quoting commentaries of this acharya or that acharya. Where did you get the commentary from and who translated it into English so you can read it? Now we have our Bhanu Maharaj who's translated commentary on the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go online, you can find it. It's available. You can buy the entire translation of the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti on the Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto to the 12th canto. The entire thing is there. I would trust Bhanu Maharaj's translation, but a lot of these translations that people are reading, they're things they found in Lower Bazaar, and Prabhupada was putting a kibosh on that when he was here in the 70s. He was saying, don't do this. There's that one incident where one devotee said to Prabhupada, my favorite author is Bhaktivinoda. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm your favorite author.
Jai.
Because where are you getting this translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur from? Who are you getting it from? Where are you getting it from? How do you know it's bona fide? But, you know, we like to sound scholarly, so we find this book, that book, and we just start quoting and running off the track. That's what Prabhupada wanted to stop. You should get your knowledge in Sampradaya. So our immediate predecessor, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he sat down with all of those commentaries and wrote his purports. Learn those purports. When you know them by heart, then you can start to look at maybe, if it's necessary, let's say you're writing an article for Back to Godhead magazine. Otherwise, everything is there in Prabhupada's purports. There's absolutely no necessity for you to go and search out some translation of this Acharya's commentary and that Acharya's. It's not necessary when you don't even know what's in Prabhupada's books. Most of the time you find these people are quoting this and that. They don't even really know what's in Prabhupada's books.
What you say reminds me of a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to the temple president, my first temple president in New York, Gopijana Vallabha Das.
Our
yes. Don't try to be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. I think Swavas would like to chime in, if you would give him. Yes.
That was
good.
A great point by Archer. You know, I was just reading the purport again. It's very, to me, it's like kind of, it's not that it's simplistic, but it says here, they call it the Brahma Vimohana Leela. It's the bewilderment Leela to Lord Brahma. Now, Brahma is materially created, as Prabhupada says. So, how can we try to understand how this happened? Oh, we do know in the purport by Prabhupada that Krishna took away the real associates. Because he said here, Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. So other boys and calves would imply that Krishna knew about this, and he did it purposefully to bewilder Lord Brahma. So he put some other people there, or other entities there, to bewilder Brahma. So how are we to understand what this means if Brahma was bewildered by the whole activity?
Oh, I don't feel so bad now. Thank you. I very much appreciate this discussion. Any other questions? Yes, Balaram Das.
Going back to your instruction, the note that we should not read other books, there's a very big instruction of Prabhupada to stick with reading his books. But then there are also situations where I listen to my guru's class and he's instructed by Prabhupada that there should be more research done on certain passages. And those refer to the books of the six Goswamis. But then again, there's a real case during Prabhupada's time that there's one sannyasi who's been reading a lot of the six Goswami's books, and finally he approached Prabhupada if he could be blessed to find his guru. He's a disciple of Prabhupada.
Oh yes, there's a very famous incident.
Yeah, and then Prabhupada said, I bless you after 60,000 lifetime, you will find your guru. Right. So, I keep on meditating what is the line drawn? Because we have a lot of books to our access now, and I guess it would depend on one person's collection of how you will perceive or how ready you are to go to the next book. Because there are others who are just became bhaktas like for 6 months, and then they're studying the other books of the Goswamis, and then they even go to the very intimate book of Govinda, the intimate books of Krishna. So, which one time you told me I'm not ready for that? I personally am not ready for that too. So, the question being is, where do you draw the line?
You're asking me a question?
Yes.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Me personally, stick to Prabhupada. I have sometimes stuck my feet and dabbled in things, and it always happens. I'll start to read something and I'll say, wait a second, this is contradicting to what Prabhupada said. I close the book and I say, you know what, better to be stupid and faithful to Prabhupada. Otherwise, I just get confused. I get confused and I say, you know what? I'm 67 years old. I don't want to be confused. I have a few years left. I just want to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's books has taken me this far. That's good enough. So I stick to Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, I know I'm going to read something. It's going to confuse me. And I don't got time for that. Stick to Prabhupada's books. Bhrigupati wants to chime in. Since you asked my opinion, you can take it or leave it.
Since you asked for questions, other questions, I have another question about this purport. So it's saying that Lord Brahma took a material birth, and Prabhupada's saying he took birth from the lotus flower, so it was a material birth. But that lotus flower is emanating from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. It's part of his body, I mean, you could say. It's not like a lotus flower he just grabbed from someplace and it's holding, you know. It's a lotus flower that's coming right out of his navel. So how is that material? It's connected to his body.
Yes, I also thought of that last night when I was preparing. And you'll also read that the before the manifestation, all the planets are resting in the stem. So you just, the way I accept it, it's, yes, it's coming from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, but it's material. I didn't have a problem with, that it's a material lotus flower. I didn't have a problem, because the material energy manifested from him anyway. So if he's manifesting a lotus flower and it's material, I don't have a problem. That doesn't disturb me. Amala Bhakta Swami. We only have a few more minutes, so.
Well, I think the only thing that we need to be concerned about is that Lord Brahma is, he's Jiva Atma. He's not Vishnu Tattva. So he's Jiva Atma. Born in the lotus, or whether if he were born someplace else, the main thing, he's a manifestation of the part and parcel of Krishna. And of course, he is a very advanced soul. He's considered to be a pure devotee. But nonetheless, he is. We don't refer to him just because he was born out of the lotus as Vishnu Tattva. That's not his position. So therefore, we need to concern ourselves that that's the way he was manifested, period. Okay? So if he's Jivatma, then he's Jivatma. And that's it. But he's very high-level Jivatma. He's considered pure devotee. If he's pure devotee, then we have to revere him. We have to look up to him. We have to worship him. But we have to also know that he's not on the level of Lord Vishnu or Vamanadeva or Lord Narasingadeva. They are Vishnu Tattva, and they know much more than Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is still a dependent.
The last point goes to Swabhas. I assume you were done, Amala Maharaj. You were finished? Okay.
You know, on this situation, we know that when Krishna does activity, it's on the platform of Yoga Maya. And if it's on that platform of Yoga Maya, and we're under the influence of Mahamaya, it's impossible for us as Mahamaya influence to understand the activities of Yoga Maya.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're trying to understand something which is not really capable of us to really fully absorb and understand, because it relates directly to Krishna and his energy. His energy created all these particular living entities, and we're trying to understand that particular point, but because we're covered over by Mahamaya, it's inconceivable for us.
Yes, that's stated in the Vedas. Things which are inconceivable are not subject to argument and discussion. Bhrigupati, this has to be the last question, unless Suvas lets us go to overtime.
Okay. So, Amala Bhakta Maharaj just made a good point.
Okay, we can get to overtime.
Okay, so that Lord, the real thing,
Archita,
is Lord Brahma is Jivatma. So Jivatma,
sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, right, exactly. So Jivatmas can become, you know, bewildered by these four defects like that. That's the real thing to concern us. So my question is, what is the ontological status of the cowherd boys? Are they Jivatmas, or are they swamps, expansions of Krishna? What are they?
Not these ones that he just kind of made for Lord Brahma to steal, but the ones that were originally there.
Well, as far as the cowherd boys, I don't know. But as far as the gopis, it's clearly stated by Prabhupada that at the time of the rasa dance, some of the gopis were being promoted. Some were the personified Vedas, all right? Some were the sages who approached Lord Ramachandra. Some are eternal associates. So, as far as the cowherd boys, I believe in a previous chapter, it appears that some of the cowherd boys are expansions of the demigods. So, which ones is which, I don't know. Okay, Archita was next. I'm sorry. I must play fair as your
Hare
host.
Krishna. Sabas brought up the right word, achintya. Because it's not just that this point that you mentioned today is hard to understand. The whole thing is hard to understand. Krishna, who's God, who knows everything, is Sri Kalagya, he knows past. He's walking around searching for the boys and calves like he doesn't know where they are. How is that believable? How can you accept that? How can you understand that? If you accept Krishna as God, then how is it that he has to search for things? He doesn't know where they are. It's a play. That's the whole point. His pastimes are a gigantic transcendental play. And if you don't accept and hear through the right authority, then the whole scene is bewildering. Not just this part about the Maya cowherd boys. And the entire thing is inconceivable. Because we see it continues. You know, Brahma takes away the apparent Maya cowherd boys, but then Krishna comes back and they're not there. And now he's walking around searching for the boys and the calves. But he's God. He knows where everything is. He knows where everyone is. Why is he searching? It's a play. The whole thing is a play put on by Krishna in such a way that it bewilders everyone. The demigods, what to speak of us.
All right. Back to the boss. Hold on, Balaram.
So, I think another issue or another understanding would be that these cowherd boys were also an expansion of Krishna's pleasure potency.
Yeah, it's because, definitely stated.
Yeah, and so they were meant to associate directly. We know that you can't be a conditioned soul and associate with the Supreme Lord. So it means that all this activity was on that particular spiritual platform. So the associates were expansions of his Hridini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So it's non-different from Krishna. So again, it comes to the point of us who are conditioned in this material world, we can only speculate this Hridini Shakti or the pleasure potency. That comes all the way to trying to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's also, you know, in that Hridini Shakti, that pleasure potency. And there Krishna enjoys on a particular level that's very impossible for us to understand.
Balaram Ji?
Okay. Since we're talking about Lord Brahma, and now Swabhas touched on Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Brahma is our Harinam guru.
Yes.
So he's and Lord Chaitanya actually danced with his departed body.
Correct.
So my question is, did when he left his body, Lord Brahma, did he go back to being Lord Brahma, or where did he finally proceed? Because
he didn't leave his body. No, he didn't leave his...
He left his body at the end.
Yeah. The demigods can expand themselves. If you notice, in the beginning of the 10th canto, Lord Vishnu's message to Brahma is that you demigods expand yourselves. So they can do that. They can expand themselves. So Haridas Thakur is, you could say, the expansion of Brahma coming in that form. He doesn't, you know, it's Brahma is always there. Well, that would be a speculation. No. You said leave of absence.
Yes, Lord Brahma took a leave of absence.
Where does
to become
it? Whoa. Where does that stated?
No, I'm just saying. I'm making a hypothetical situation. Even if Lord Brahma did take a leave of absence.
Oh, left, even if.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, even if Lord Brahma took a leave of absence as Lord Brahma to just be Haridas Thakur, the amount of time he was here as Haridas Thakur is nothing in his time. So he could have just done that, boom, and come and been back.
Yes, we do see in the case of Vidura, Yamaraj took a leave of absence, and it says that Aryama took over the service, but I didn't read where Lord Brahma took a leave of absence.
I'm not saying you did.
Okay, good.
Even if.
Because we that was already established earlier in the class, that we're not going to speculate. All right. Did you want to say something? All right. I hope you're less confused than I was. Thank you very much. You gave a great class, by the way.